Welcome to the Decent Rowing Podcast. My name's Lachlan Davey. I'm here with my dad, Ken Davey, and together we have decentrowing.com. So today we're going to be talking all about power application during the drive phase and a few things that affect it and things to look out for when you're doing power application after you place the blade. So what do you reckon you'd cover first when you're thinking about this one, Ken?
Oh, I think the most important thing is to understand that different boats have different power applications required. I think it's one of the most misunderstood concepts. There's a bit of a feeling I've seen in clubs and schools where as soon as the oar's in the water, then you should just really give it to it as hard as you can. And with smaller boats, that's not really the right answer. Bigger boats, perhaps it is. So different boats have different levels of power application. And I think it's not very well understood amongst the rowing community other than at the elite level. So Lachlan, from your experience at rowing at in school and club level in a range of boats from singles right the way through to eights, what comments did you hear about when you should apply the power in that environment on those boats?
So pretty much without fail, every single boat class that I was in until I maybe reached the age of like 18, 19, started rowing in some of the more elite crews, it was always about placing the blade, getting the legs on really quickly and the power on really quickly. And this is a really good technique if you're looking at eights. So eights or quads, they're very fast boats. You have to pick up the load very quickly to be able to contribute to the boat speed. But it's not really the case with singles so much. You really want to have a little bit more time to get connected. And so, yeah, you obviously need to get the power on after you place the blade in the water. But how you do that, like you said, depending on different boat classes, makes a big difference to how the boat feels and how the boat goes as well.
Yeah, one of the main reasons why it's so significant is that the smaller boats slow down a lot more. If you think about the momentum of a boat, if you've got an eight there that weighs 100 odd kilos and it's got eight or nine people in it that average weight of say 70 to 80 kilos, then that's a lot of weight in that boat. And so from a momentum perspective, once it's moving, it doesn't like to slow down much because it's got so much mass in there. If conversely you've got a single scull, then it slows down a lot every time you come into the catch. So when you're picking up the load to start to accelerate the boat again, in a small boat, the boat slowed down a lot. In a big boat, it hasn't slowed down so much. So as Lachlan says, in an eight or a quad, the aim is to just keep hitting it along. Just keep tapping it along and get the power on early because you don't have a lot of time. Usually the rate's higher, but the critical thing is the boat doesn't slow down as much. Now, in a small boat, it's really important to make sure that you move with the speed of the movement. Same in a big boat, but moving with the speed of the movement, by what I mean by that is that as you start to accelerate the boat, then you keep accelerating as the boat gets faster and faster. You keep more and more acceleration. So you're moving with the speed of the movement and it gets faster and faster and faster. Now, if you think about it, a good analogy that Lachlan penned before is about, it's like pushing a car. If you're in a small boat and you push really hard to start with, then you're not going to move the boat very much in that first bit. Let's think about pushing a car. If you try and push a car that's clearly without the motor running and you're just on level ground and you want to push the car, you can't get the car to go very fast in that first couple of seconds of pushing it. You've got to push a little bit and then let it get a bit faster and then push a bit more and let it get a bit faster and push a bit more and then let it get a bit faster, moving with the speed of the movement. So you're gradually increasing the speed of it. And then once you get the car running, like pushing it and it's rolling down the road, then you can push, your car can go quite fast. So the same thing applies in particularly smaller boats, but applies in all boats, is that when you pick up the load, you don't want to really try and push too hard too soon because you won't get good acceleration out of that. You'll end up wasting a lot of energy. You can actually wear yourself out trying to push an object that's immovable. And if you push too early, you're just wasting energy in that. So Lachlan, from your perspective, we've talked before about the concept of you want to save your energy for the best part of the rowing stroke, the best part of the race, the best part of how it all works together in a race environment. So how do you see the analogy from a practical perspective in a boat? Let's go with a small boat compared to a large boat with the pushing the car analogy.
So yeah, when it comes to the how you apply the power in different boat classes, it comes down to how fast the boat's moving and also what type of oar you're rowing with. So if you're rowing with a sculling oar, you have a much greater catch angle than if you're rowing with a sweep oar. So that means you have more time to place the blade in the water in a sculling boat than you do in a sweep boat. So when you're in a sweep boat, catch angle's a bit less, and often, you know, they're bigger boats, fours and eights, the pair not so much. The pair acts a bit more like the single in that regard. But the bigger boats, they've got less catch angle, so it means the water relative to the blade when you place it is moving a lot more quickly, and so you have to be a lot sharper and a lot more quick at placing that blade when you're rowing with a sweep oar over a sculling oar. And the extra speed of the boat compounds that effect. So by the time you get to a fast eight, an elite eight, racing quickly, high rating, you have really small opportunity to place that blade and get on with it. Whereas in a single, if you place the blade at say 70 degrees of catch angle, so a long way around towards the bow, and you try and push as hard as you can, you're going to have to transfer a lot of your energy into just bend on the oar, and you will get the bit of that, you will get most of that back at the end of the stroke, but it's just too heavy for your muscles to be able to contract to get optimal power. So it's also a play with what you can do within your body biomechanically, how you apply the power. So your muscles have to move relatively quickly, so about a third of maximal contraction speed is where you can generate maximum power. And so at the catch, where everything's a long way around, the gearing's very heavy, your muscles can't contract anywhere near quickly enough. So you sort of, there's not a lot of point in trying to, you know, push really hard at that large catch angle, especially in a slower boat like a single. Whereas if you're in a quad, when you place that blade, your boat's going to be moving a lot more quickly, and you're going to be able to contract a lot harder, so push a lot harder with the legs to get that boat going. And so, yeah, you really want to use the right muscle at the right time, and especially when it comes to the catch, you want to be thinking about your legs, you want to be thinking about being strong with your core and your back, and, you know, opening up against your leg drive right from when you place that blade. Or keeping the body nice and strong, the back braced, so to speak, pushing with the legs and opening the body a bit later. There's a couple of different techniques there, but both work pretty well as long as you're connected and as long as you've got the legs on.
Yeah, and what happens in a, if we go back to a smaller boat for a minute, if you get those legs on too hard too early, as Lachlan says, you're sort of wasting your energy a bit, so you'll have less energy for later on. But what also happens is that you tend to create slip in the blade if you push too hard too soon. And the way you see this evidenced is if you watch the scull, the movement of the boat in a smaller boat in particular, but same applies even in big boats, then you'll find that if you push too hard too soon, then essentially you check the boat. And so if you're watching the boat move through the water and someone's pushing too hard too soon, i.e. they're not well connected with the water and they're applying too much power at that initial phase and not moving with the speed of the movement, then you'll find that the boat looks like it checks. So there's this little hesitation in the run of the boat. Now if you see that, and look for it because it's a seriously good indicator of how to improve the rowing stroke, if you see that checking in the boat, that is a fair indication that either the blade's not in the water and not connected before they push, or they're pushing too hard. And you find this particularly in small boats with strong athletes. It's pretty easy for a really strong athlete in a small boat to check the boat. What you need to do with an athlete like that, and indeed all athletes, but it's more pronounced with a strong athlete, is to get the blade in quick before there's any push, get it in deep, get it well connected, and then apply the power a little bit gradual in that first bit. So you're building the acceleration from maybe 0% power right the way through to 100% power, moving with that speed of the movement. So as the boat gets faster, you put more power on continually through the stroke. You'll probably find that from a muscle perspective, as Lachlan was saying there, where's the most powerful point? You'll probably find the most powerful point for a leg drive is when the thighs and the shins are at about right angle. Coincidentally, if you look at where that is in the rowing stroke, that's after the catch, after you're connected, and then you're in that right angle position ready to put a lot of power on. So if you're trying to coach beginner athletes and about where they should apply the power, then try and get them to apply the power more aggressively, and they can do it quite aggressively once they're well connected and the boat's started to picked up the load. Then you may find that if you watch them when their shins and thighs are at right angles, that's a really good point for them to really be able to apply the power. And if they've got a half decent catch, then if you get them to apply a lot of power at that right angle point, then you'll find you get some pretty good leg drive and some pretty good bow speed out of it. But it's really important to not aggressively row the blade into the water or aggressively put the blade into the water and then try and kill the foot plate in a small boat. In a big boat, different. In a big boat, when the blade's in the water, just get the power on. But the same thing applies. The strong position for a leg is when the thigh and the shins are at right angle. So look for that in your cruise. So from your perspective, Lachlan, when you're applying power, and if you apply a lot of power early on the stroke, then can you feel slip with the blade if you're putting the power on too early or you're not fully connected?
Yeah, so the extreme example of that is placing the blade, and before the blade becomes fully buried, you start applying the power, and it's what a lot of junior athletes do. This is why we're always harping on about placing the blade deep, because at least if the blade's deep, you're not going to be catching any air as you apply the power. So you can just practice this next time you go swimming, or even when you're rowing along, to put the blade just above the surface, like the top of the blade just above the surface, and try and pull through really quickly. You'll see that the blade just shoots through with very little resistance. It catches air around it, and it just is very inefficient. It's like cavitation in a boat, like a motorboat. If you don't have the propeller all the way under the water, it'll catch a lot of air and be extremely ineffective. So you want to make sure that the blade is, one, buried enough so that when you do apply the power, you don't catch air, and so that's your locked on. So you're locked on in that position. Sometimes people, you'll find they don't have consistent blade depth, so you want to place the blade to a depth and then draw straight through in a straight line, either with the handle or the oar. It doesn't matter what you're focusing on, but you don't want it to be popping up. You don't want to be coming out halfway through the stroke. You don't want to be going down. You want to be holding that pressure. And so that's going to have a big impact on how the power is applied. And you really want to make sure that during that first part of the drive phase, you're not rowing the blade into the water. You're not catching a heap of air, which is going to make you lose efficiency. You're going to lose your purchase on the water. And you're going to have a very quick stroke, but a very ineffective stroke. What you want is a connected stroke. So every ounce of power that you put in through your leg drive, your body open, and the hands coming into the body, all of that is transferred into boat speed as opposed to just wasted. And it's important for your muscles as well. They need to be loaded up enough to be able to provide maximum power. If they don't load up because you don't place the blade well, you catch a lot of air, the blade shoots through the water quickly, your muscles aren't going to be able to generate the power required, and you'll be doing a lot of busy work, like spinning your wheels in the mud. It's just not going to drive the boat very well.
No, and then what comes out of that as well is that if someone's not connected like that, and then they can end up using half their slide, half their leg drive, for no real effect in boat speed. And so it's really important to get this right. A couple of tips that are useful for identifying this, one for the athlete and one for the coach, about identifying when people have missed that connection. So they've put the blade in, haven't got well connected before they start the leg drive. If I look at it from an athlete perspective, what it can feel like is you put the blade in the water and then it feels okay, then it feels heavy. So if it feels light when you put the blade in the water and then it feels heavy a fraction of a second later, it probably means that you weren't connected before you started to push. So you've started to push and then it's as though you've let the clutch out in a manual car and all of a sudden it's grabbed and you can feel the weight. So if you feel it light and then when you put the blade in the water and then it feels heavy after that blade's in the water, then it probably means that you haven't waited for the connection, you haven't loaded up correctly before you start the leg drive, you've started pushing too soon. So that's from an athlete perspective. If you look at it from a coach perspective, then if you watch carefully what happens to the athlete's body as they put the blade in the water, then you can see with a number of athletes when they miss that catch and don't get the blade in quickly, start to push too early, you'll see that the body looks like it's moving nice and smoothly, and then it jerks a little bit after the catch, as though all of a sudden it's got loaded up. I saw one classic example where a young athlete was rowing like that in an eight, and put the blade in the water, and you could see a fraction of a second later, you could see that all of a sudden her shoulders looked as though they jerked a bit towards the coxswain, a bit towards the stern. So what happened is that she'd put the blade in and started to push, and her body was moving, and then you could see her body stop moving momentarily or just check a little bit, and that's a really solid indication that she was starting to push before she had the blade connected. So from an athlete perspective, there's things you can do to understand what that feels like. Another thing you can do is practice generating slip. So row a few strokes in a boat, and you can do this in any boat, so row a few strokes in the boat and deliberately miss the connection, and you'll feel what slip feels like. And if you can calibrate yourself to understand what slip feels like, then you've got a better chance of picking it up when you're rowing. So Lachlan, you would have been in some crews, I imagine, where there'd be people missing the catch by miles. What does the boat feel like? Does it feel heavier? If you're well connected, does it feel heavier? Or if you're the one missing the catch, what does it feel like in the boat within your body?
Yeah, so if you're following someone, I've had this experience before in an eight. So you're following, I don't know, might have been in the six or the five seat, I can't remember exactly, but somewhere in the middle of the boat there. And you're following the person in front, and if they've got a poorly buried blade, so sometimes the blade is popping out maybe even halfway through their rowing arc, and so they're getting their stroke done very quickly compared to you. So you're sort of stuck in the water applying the power, but they've already finished the stroke or have finished the stroke a fraction earlier than you. You'll feel very rushed on the recovery, try and catch up with them, and in the water it feels very heavy. And so it's something a coach really needs to get onto to make sure that everyone's spending the right amount of time in the water, because otherwise you'll find some people get to the end of the race, they haven't used enough energy. You'll say the blade's coming out early, it's not getting a full arc, and some people will find that they just felt heavy, they blew up early in the race. So it's very important to have all your athletes doing the same thing in the water if you want to have a cohesive crew and not have like vastly different experiences. Like someone actually emailed in the other day and they were talking about how that they were in the crew and they felt that it was really heavy in the water, and the rest of the crew was like, oh, it's really light, I wonder, you know, what she's doing wrong, etc. And I haven't seen the footage, but it sounds just like the classic one person's actually getting the blade in the water and connected and doing hard work, and the rest are just not getting the blade in the water. Either they're placing it late, so they're not getting a full arc, they're tapping out too early, they're not getting a full arc, their blade's too shallow, they're not getting a good power transfer. And so, yeah, generally if someone says it feels heavy, it's because they're doing more work than the other people in the boat. And especially when you get to big boats, it can feel a lot more heavy. Like, you know, in a double, say one person's getting it, one person's not, it'll feel a bit heavy. But if in an eight, four people are doing it not so well, and four people are getting really well connected, they're going to feel the whole weight of all those other people and the heavy boat itself. So it can be a real, real problem when it comes to, having a good positive conversation with the crew because someone says it's easy and they couldn't get the rating up high enough, and the other people say it's super heavy and, you know, they were struggling to keep up on the recovery, and it just turns into a very uncomfortable fight within the crew.
Yeah, and so from a coach perspective, that's a really useful conversation to have with the crew, though, because it gives you a lot of insight straight away as to who's got the power on, who's well connected, who's not connected, and then if you've got video footage as well, of course, then you can back it up and educate the athletes with it at the same time. One thing to be mindful of, if you've got a few people in a crew that are saying that it's really heavy all the time, just make sure that they're not subject to an injury like a back injury. If you've got a really long, tall person in a boat, then you may find that they've got a lot more gearing simply because they've got a bigger arc. And in a case like that, I'd work pretty hard to get their arc to match so they don't have such a greater amount of load than everyone else, but also make sure or get everyone else to grow longer if you can, of course. And also just be mindful that if they've got, if it feels really heavy to a particular athletes, then it's possible that they may be doing more than their share of the work, loading up their body more, and they may have more propensity to a back injury. So just be mindful of gearing and injuries and workload. They're all very closely related, and so just make sure you don't get people who get injured in that particular space. So Lachlan, from the power application through the drive, if we're heading for this maximum acceleration right the way through to the finish, so we're gradually applying power consistently right the way through the drive phase and getting faster and faster and faster, the handle getting faster and faster and faster, then what's the critical things as we're heading towards the finish that you should be aware of to make sure that you keep that power on?
Yeah, so especially in a single, it's all about applying the power early, so getting connected early, not necessarily with maximum drive, but placement quickly, power on quickly, and then driving through and to holding it all the way through to the finish. So in a single especially, having a pretty long rowing stroke is very important. And some people might have to say it looks like a short finish, but it's probably because they have a really big catch angle. And so, and that probably gets a bit less and less important as you move up through the boat classes into faster boats. The catch becomes extremely crucial because it's the easiest time, the blade's furthest around towards the bows where the most gearing is. So if you can place quickly and get your legs on, the finish becomes less important, and not less important from like a technical point of view and getting onto the next stroke and balance and all that. Still important for that, but it's not as important for driving the boat forward as it is getting the blade placed and the power on really quickly with the legs opening with the body, and like you said, getting the blade placed and the power fully engaged by the time you're around three quarter to half slide, where you can generate maximum power with your legs, body, and legs and body mostly, but maybe a little bit of arms by that point as well. So definitely try and get the power on really quickly in faster boats, especially sweep boats, because you have less catch angle, you have less time to muck around or get the blade buried. So it's a real luxury in a quad to be able to have the time to get the blade buried before you apply the power. You just don't have that luxury of time in an eight. Catch angle is much less and the boat's moving more quickly, so you really have to place and get it on quickly. You've got more time to do that in smaller boats, you've got more time to do it in sculling boats, but essentially it's about, like you said earlier, moving with the speed of the water. If the boat's moving fast and you have less catch angle, you have to place quickly. If the boat's moving slow and you have a massive catch angle, you can spend a bit more time getting that catch just right and getting connected before really getting onto it with the power. And at a lower rate, much easier than a higher rate, of course. And it's a real timing thing across all boat classes.
Yeah, and another thing that's important too in that power application is making sure that you get the right sequencing of muscles. Now, we all know there's a number of athletes out there rowing at an elite level that use their arms in the catch, and there are lots of athletes that don't. And so is one particular technique the right one? And the only way we can really look at that is to say, what is it the majority of the good athletes are doing in relation to power application? And generally you'll find it's once they're connected, then it's leg drive is the goal of that first part, then legs and body, and then at the finish it's the body and arms, of course. Now, just a couple of words that might be useful in helping your athletes or yourself to go a bit faster, and it might sound a little odd, but I've found that it works quite well with many people, is that firstly you get the legs on. Yes, we understand that, and you get the power, and you gradually increase the power more quickly in a bigger boat, of course, but you increase the power, and then you bring your body on. Now, a way to describe it which resonates with some people is when you're in that phase when the oars just before perpendicular and going past, where you're likely to have the leg drive on pretty solidly, and you've got the body on solidly at the same time, then just imagine the concept of having your legs trying to push the seat towards the bow as hard as they can, and it's fighting with your body that's trying to stop your legs from pushing towards the bow. Now, if you do that, then what that is, an image perspective for some people, resonates really well, because they can say, okay, my legs are fighting with my body in that middle part of the stroke to get the maximum power. and you'll find that sometimes you can get a really powerful mid-phase of the drive there at the point when you really need it, because you've the boat's already up to speed and you're really just trying to maximize that power through that first part of the curve. If you're looking at an acceleration curve, you'll see that is generated by a large bump in the acceleration at that point, which is something that you really should try to build on. If you don't put the legs and bodies on together aggressively at that point, then you'll find that that acceleration curve on the trace is quite a bit flatter and you're not getting as much power out of it as you should. So I think it's really important to understand the sequence of the movement of the muscles in the body, and don't forget that your core muscles that are driving the body back are really, there's a lot of muscle in there and you can get a lot of acceleration out of that. When you come to the finish, it's important in a smaller boat in particular to make sure you keep the power on right the way through to the finish. Indeed, in any boat you want to do that. But then in a smaller boat, you want to make sure you're not leaving too much of the weight of the body in the bow. So I'd always be encouraging to keep the blade, keep the pressure on the blade, keep a bend in the oar right the way through to the finish. So when you tap it out, you essentially started the recovery straight away. So Lachlan, you would have seen the difference between small boats and big boats as far as weight in the bow. How do you see that part of the power curve right at the end?
So yeah, when it comes to the finish, probably the most important aspect of the finish when you're racing, whether it be a small boat or a large boat, is just being able to create enough space behind that blade so you can tap out cleanly and quickly, especially in an 8. You don't want to get to the finish, not have any cavity behind that blade, or it doesn't have to be a cavity, but an area of low pressure that you generate by pulling through with the arms and the body. If you don't have that, it's going to be a lot harder for you to extract that blade cleanly and get on to the next stroke. Worst case scenario, probably you're drawing through with the arms and you sort of bring it down to down towards your hips sort of thing, as opposed to drawing all the way through. If you do that, when you go, especially when you do the feathering motion, you'll be lifting a lot of water out at the finish, and it can be so bad that your crewmate in front of you on the next stroke will come through and it'll hit straight into that massive wash that you have and upset their stroke. I've rode in boats before where someone further towards the bow is doing that, like two seats. So I think maybe I was in the 4 seat, they were in the 2 seat. And when I went to take my next stroke, even though my blade was off the water, there was a literal wave from them tapping out that my blade just smashed through every single stroke during the race. And it's super annoying and obviously not great for boat speed. So you really want to make sure you get that clean extraction at the finish. Really important in bigger boats that are moving very quickly. You can't afford to spend time around the finish slowly tapping the blade out. There's been some rollers in the past that have had a really large layback in the boat, and the one thing that all these rowers had was huge strength, huge engine, so they could row really long, generate a lot of power, and even make that the end of that stroke work. These days we're seeing a tendency for athletes to sit up more, not put their weight down the bow of the boat, and get on with the next stroke and make the most of that first part of the rowing stroke after they place the blade, and not focusing too much around the finish. And yeah, some people barely have any lean back and they finish very close to very small finish angles compared to what we might have seen in the past. And this is really good for high ratings, and a lot of the elite rowers now are sort of incorporating the change of direction into the end of their stroke. So as they bring their hands towards the body at the finish, their body actually starts to come towards their hands and starts that recovery before the drive is even done. It's very subtle, but if you slow down, and if you saw some of the videos I made last year on this, that they do slow down. It is a very combined movement around the finish. As the hands come into the body comes and starts to rock over, and they shave a little bit of time off their finish here, and so it makes it easier for them to maintain a higher rating without really sacrificing anything boat speed wise.
So power application, different in different boats, and the most important thing of course is to get well connected, get the power on and move with the speed of the movement right the way through to the finish. I think one of the things that's super important that all athletes and coaches should understand is that, in any age group, is that the application of power in the boat is different for different boats. And so there's not a one-size-fits-all. It's important that the athletes understand the difference between rowing in a single scull and rowing in a quad or an eight. So when you're educating people within the club, or if you're out rowing yourself, just be mindful of that difference and experiment with it yourself to see how you can get the best boat speed. But the concept of one type of power application works just doesn't apply across a range of boats. So it's super important that athletes and coaches understand the differences and work with it.
Yeah, the theory is still the same. It's just that the different boat classes have different characteristics with how fast they are, what catch angles they have, and so that therefore means they need to be rowed slightly differently, although it's all the same rules, placing the blade quickly, getting the power on. Yeah, it just depends exactly what boat you're rowing to get the most out of that boat. But essentially, if you can get the blade buried and then you can have a solid drive phase, that's going to suit. That's going to make it pretty well a good row for you if you can do that. So if you want to watch some in-depth videos on this and you're a member, you can just head to our website. We've got a heap of videos on this topic, drive and power application. We've got different parts of the stroke broken down and different sections. So if you're having an issue with one particular area of the stroke, there's multiple videos on that for you to have a look at. If you want to learn a bit more about rowing and you're looking for a free rowing course, we have an online one. You can just put your email in, and it's got a whole heap of lessons there. It's also got a stretching guide that goes along with it. So if you want to look at that, just head to decentrowing.com and you can get access to that straight away. So until next time, happy rowing.